The views and opinions expressed on this show are those of the sponsor, Varis Health Partners.
Good morning, welcome back to Pep Talk, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable, 850-437-1620 if you want to be part of the conversation today. I'm your host, PJ. In studio with me right now is Keith and Pam Giles from Varis Health Partners. How are you doing today?
You're doing fine, I think.
Doing good.
Perfect.
Doing good.
So I understand you're up against busy season right now. Tell us about some changes in your industry.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Good morning, everybody. Thanks for joining us. Hey, before we get started in this crazy world of Medicare and all the changes coming up, I want to remind you that annual enrollment period is from the 15th to the December 7th. And right now, us agents can talk about the new plans for, and the craziness going on that we haven't seen in 20 years, that you can make appointments with your agents or call us. Hopefully, you'll be our agent. And talk about some of these things that are happening out there, isn't it? It's a little bit nutty, right, Pam?
Sure is. A little bit of changes, like you asked earlier. Take a look at your annual notice of change. We always say that. And your plan could be changing significantly. Specifically, they've changed plan names. They've terminated plans. They've consolidated plans. There's all kinds of stuff like that going on. So I think today we're going to share a little bit more specifically on what's happened to the drug plans. And that's always been a big deal for everybody because medications is something that we always take into consideration as we age and what's going to happen with my retirement funds if I have to spend it all on medications. So they've made some significant changes as far as our drug plans go. As Keith said, I'll just remind us of the dates. Wait, once again, AEP officially opened October 1st for sharing information. And if you want to make plan changes or plan reviews, October 15th is when you can start making changes. And again, all these things will take effect January 1st.
But yeah, so officially we can't really, we can review the new products out there, but we can't sign you up until the 15th.
Correct. Yeah. And then December 7th closes out the season for making those kind of changes. So I'll just kind of dive right in. First off, we've been hearing about the drug plan stages. If you're in the Medicare space, you're probably familiar with what we're talking about with stages. Some people that might be on some more expensive medications, they've increased that deductible to $590, which means if you're on one of those expensive meds, you're going to pay $590 and then whatever copay your company's going to charge for that medication up front. Again, like in the past, you might see the first couple of payments for some of those expensive meds being $600, $700. Some people have told us $1,000. And that's really expensive for individuals. And last year, meaning this 2024, combined costs for your medications could have gone up to $8,000. And you start with what we call the deductible stage, that big amount up front, and then you're paying most of everything for your medications. And then you go into what we call initial coverage, and then the plan finally starts helping you pay for it, and you'll have some copays. But then you'll have heavy copays until you reach what we call catastrophic coverage, and then finally you pay zero for your medications. Typically, that might put people in catastrophic coverage not till like November and sometimes December, and then you reset every year. So what's really nice for 2025, guess what? Your max is $2,000, which is really a big change.
Yeah, I'd like to always bring it up. It's like the good, bad, and the ugly. That's the good part. Your max is like $2,000 instead of $8,000. What we find out with some of our clients, they just stop taking their medications.
Yes, typically that will happen often. I'm just not going to get that med.
Yeah.
So the Inflation Reduction Act is one of the steps in there was reducing that cost, and they finally did it for 2025. So basically, you still have that $590 deductible if you're on expensive meds, or some plans, their design have you changing that, paying that deductible right up front. But then you go, there's no donut hole. There's no coverage gap. You go from deductible if it applies, initial coverage where they help you pay for your meds, and then you go straight into catastrophic after you've reached $2,000. And for some people, that will happen by April. That will happen by July. So it's really helpful if you have expensive meds. The consequence, or the trade-off, if you will, is plans have made a lot of changes to their designs. And that's why I was saying some plans have been terminated. Some have been combined. Some carriers may have had three plans, and they may now only have one, or they may only have one plan or two plans that you can enroll in.
And I would say this is the beginning of the ugly part.
Yes. Yeah. We do a lot of research and do comparisons for you, help you review your annual notice of change. And just most recently, I've been trying to do some research for some of my clients. And it takes trying to find the right balance for them, looking at three or four quotes over and over again. Some have the high deductible, some have no deductible but a high premium, some have a low premium, but the formulary is very thin. So it's really a balancing act to try to find the right plan for you this year. It may be the plan you're already on. They may have gotten rid of the plan you're on and renamed it and combined it into another plan within that carrier. So
a lot of that, actually.
Yes. We have three carriers that have done that. And we have one carrier that has just totally gone down to one plan. Now, this is standalone prescription drug plans. The same structure applies if you're on a Medicare Advantage plan. But you may find on your Advantage plan, if you're one of those individuals, that your co-pays are different, especially, I'm going to go to tiers for just a minute. Tier 1 and 2 are your generics, and most of the time, you don't have to pay the deductible for those. But if you're on what we call a Tier 3 or 4, which are your brand names, or a Tier 5, which are specialty, now you're going to see in your plan maybe a 40% or a 20% copay, or they'll give you a flat copay for those expensive meds. That's what's going to be different in whatever plan design you're looking at, because your carrier has to pick up that slack from $8,000 last year was a shared cost to now it's $2,000, and then it's their responsibility to absorb a lot of those cost of medications. So again, it's important to know. I've seen in my research something that was a tier 2, and like I said, that's a generic med. They bumped it to a tier 3, and it changed the whole structure of the cost to that individual. So it's important to understand your medications and where they fit into your plan at that point.
Yeah, we're going to do a lot of shuffling, aren't we?
Yes, yes.
We're going to look for other avenues maybe you don't want to pick up that tier 3. We can get it through, you know, one of the good things we talk about, Good RX is really good. There's other places where you can get your medications.
Yes, we always try to strategize how you can save money. Some people come in and say, oh, I don't get that med through my plan. I use GoodRx, or they get it from another source.
That's but, one of the beautiful things I like about our clients. They'll call us and tell us, hey, you should be doing this. And I was like, okay, good news. Now let's spread it out.
Absolutely, absolutely. Given what you were saying on that, Keith, I wanted to go back. I noticed when I was talking about that high deductible, and some people are like, well, how do I know it applies? When you're looking at quotes, some of your meds may be deductible exempt, which that means you're not going to pay that deductible. So that's the biggest thing, is you want to look at what you're paying. And if your carrier is having you pay a lot of your pocket up till you pay that cost of the $2,000, or is there no deductible but a higher premium, and you start right off in initial coverage, and you just pay your copays.
I got a feeling you're going to talk about the ugly part.
Which one?
You know, when you do that, you end up doing like a loan or something.
Yes, that's another change. That's you'll be hearing a lot about what we call it's a payment plan basically for your medications. So I just went through the whole thing, how it's awesome to think that you're not going to pay more than $2,000 out of pocket. But still, if you're on a plan that charges you all of that money up front, how many of us have $3,000 to pay for our meds, like, or $2,000 in the first 3 months of the year? So there's a way you can spread that out. If you think about payment plans, the way you can spread that out is you can take the cost of your medications, and that's if you get all of your meds throughout the year and say, okay, this is what the cost is going to be for you for this year for your medications. And you can take that amount and just divide it by 12 and you make that payment. What's going to be confusing is that if you are on if you are on a what we call a standalone drug plan, which is just your drug plan with original Medicare, you will pay the premium for that plan as well as whatever the monthly premium or the monthly payment is for your spreading it out through the year.
So you get two bills.
You get two bills.
Mm-hmm. Instead of one.
Instead of one. So the way it's supposed to work is once you get in, if once you are looked at as being a good candidate, because if you have medications and it doesn't cost you more than $300 for the whole year for your medications, you're not going to be a good candidate for that system. But if you fit anywhere from $1,500 to the $2,000, then you might want to take a look at if that's a good fit for you. Some people might be on what we call extra help or LIS, which is limited income subsidy. You already have reduced costs, even if you have expensive meds. You would not be a good fit for this plan because you're paying zero or minimum for your medications already.
You bring up a good point there.
Go ahead.
Some folks don't even realize they are qualified for LIS.
Yes.
And it's as simple as just filling in an application and seeing if you qualify.
Yes. It's based on your income. Now, LIS or extra help, and a lot of times if you're applying for your Medicare or your Social Security benefit, either one of those databases will ask you if you qualify for extra help. When we go into quoting individuals, they'll also ask if you have extra help. It is income and asset based, and it is a federal program. And you actually can go on to the Social Security site or ssa.gov, and it'll have you, do I qualify for extra help? And you can actually give yourself a pre-check to see if that would be something that would be worth your time investing and looking at.
Do you see a lot of seniors signing up for LIS, or is it workers who have limited income?
Primarily, it's your Medicare people, and a lot of them that just are on very fixed low incomes are going to be some of the ones that might qualify for it. Hmm. And a lot of times, most of the time, it's people that aren't working, because if you are working and you still are on an employer plan, a lot of times you're already getting good costs for your medications. But another ugly is we're looking to see changes to that structure for employer plans for 2026.
I got a headache. It's getting more difficult.
Can't the rules just be the rules?
Yeah. So, to your question, it's usually individuals that are on Medicare, and oftentimes it's somebody that might also qualify for Medicaid. Hmm. But somebody might not qualify for Medicaid, but they might qualify for LIS. So we always take a look at that and see if an individual might be a good fit for that. So to answer that question, yeah, that's a possibility. When you're looking at the cost for your medications, you might see if that program is one that works for you.
That's why it's really important to look at your ANOC and to find out, what did they move you to? Or is that plan done and what plan did they put me on? So you have to really look at that.
An ANOC is annual notice of change, correct?
Correct.
Hey, you got
all right. Just for our listeners who needed to know.
That's right. Yeah, we say it once, but then we start using the terminology. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's always good to restate it. So, anyway, that kind of addresses a lot of stuff with checking out your medications. We just can't stress that enough for you to take a look at if what you have is good or do you really need to make a change.
Yeah.
The other thing with that, when we're talking about plan changes and plan terminations, this adds another piece that can be good or it could be bad, I suppose you could say. Some plans that terminated, okay, that means there's no choice for you to be rolled over in that plan. They didn't change the title of it. They didn't combine it. They just terminated your plan. When that happens, that puts you in another option to pick up some other plan. Yes, we're an annual enrollment, and you can change to anything you want. But termed plans, okay, give you an option if you were one that might have wanted a Medicare supplement somewhere along the line, okay? A terminated plan puts you in a special period to look at Medicare supplements. That means going back to original Medicare, picking up a Medicare supplement and a standalone drug plan. It allows you to do that, and there's not underwriting. But there's unique situations where that would apply to someone. But that is something that has happened with them terminating plans this year.
Yeah, so if you're looking at a supplement, this might be an opportunity for you to get in. That's something you can ask your agent or us, and we can look at it for you.
Keith and Pam Giles from Vera's Health Partners, our guests today, 850-437-1620, if you have any questions for them. What else do people need to know?
Well, where do we go from here? So the crazy thing that we're seeing, and like we talked about, so we talked a little bit about how the structure works and the Medicare Advantage plan, you know, and the SEPs that are related to that. It's just important that you get with your agent or us and talk this over with you, because it's going to get quirky. This is, like I said, we haven't seen this type of changes in 20 years, and we're going to have to iron out some things in the future. Like for the employer plans are going to have to make a change, correct?
Yeah, possibly.
2026.
Yeah.
Is my understanding.
More to come on that.
You're going to have a grace period for that, but it's going to make a big decision whether or not you take a retiree plan or not.
Right. And to that, I'll just add, we do offer what we call Medicare Made Easy classes. We're hoping to have two classes in March. I don't have the dates scheduled just yet. It'll be after we get done with AEP. But anyway, you could also come in to get what we call the ABCs of Medicare. And we go over all of those things. And as we get employer plan changes, we will bring those out at our presentations when we do those classes. I do want to add another thing. We kind of hit the drug plan, the standalone drug plans, pretty hard. Your Medicare Advantage plan, if you're on one, some of the carriers, I'm going to just go to a little bit of education on what an HMO and a PPO plan is. An HMO is a health maintenance organization, and a PPO is a preferred provider organization. An HMO is a plan that requires you to get referrals. It requires you to stay in your doctor network. Generally speaking, you're confined to what your doctor network is. Some plans allow you to go, you know, nationwide and use their network on the HMOs, but some plans have done away with their PPOs and they are now HMOs only. Some plans have added PPOs. The preferred provider organization, it allows you to go in and out of network. If you stay in network on some of the carriers nationwide, you can get network costs. So some of the plans have changed those structures. Again, a lot of this has to do with all the adjustments they made for this $2,000 cap, which some are good. It's going to take some readjusting to the choices out there and the benefit of your plan.
Benefits are a big issue. They've got to adjust those. So
yeah. So some of them have changed. There's flex cards. They may have reduced or increased flex cards. There's different things that they've done within the benefits. Some plans have added the Part B give back, and I'll explain that just a little bit. That just means anybody that's on a Medicare Advantage plan, you still have to pay your Part B premium. You may be on a Medicare Advantage plan that has a zero premium, but you're still paying your Part B. Your plan, one of the benefits, says, hey, I'll pay a portion of your Part B. But some of those have higher in-network max out-of-pockets and higher out-of-network max out-of-pockets. I know one carrier out-of-network does, and there might be a couple, but I've seen one in my quoting that has like up to $10,000 max out-of-pocket out-of-network, and that's one of the give-back plans. So you just need to know what you got.
Right, right. And one of the things that I always like to say, if you have a couple things when you're looking for an agent, like ourselves or others, you want to make sure that you have access to all the carriers here because they're all changing something.
Correct.
And if somebody who's an independent agent or an agency like ourselves, we're going to look at all the carriers and we're going to look where you can best fit. I know I've got to move a couple people from one carrier to another. So that's a good thing if you can find that. And if you got a good agent like that, then go shop around for you. I think that's going to save you money and help you out.
Absolutely.
You had mentioned a little bit earlier about the donut hole being gone. Now, that's something they've been talking about for years. So is the donut hole officially gone, or are there still areas where people might have more out-of-pocket?
Yeah, it's officially gone. It's still, if you fit into that $2,000, yeah.
We're fighting that how long up in
up
in D.C.?
It's been years.
Yeah.
It's been years, yep. So, yeah, that's the big deal for sure for 2025. It's gone.
Mm-hmm. So that's a good thing.
That's a good thing.
Very good thing.
Yeah. It's just now knowing what you got and where you're at and what you're paying for. And what's a good plan for you? Do you need to explore that payment plan? The payment plan, by the way, is when you go to your pharmacy, you do not pay anything for your medication at the pharmacist, okay? Your pharmacist may say, oh, you might qualify for this plan. Once you start the plan, they have 24 hours to get you enrolled so you can get your medications for zero at the pharmacy, and then your plan will bill you later. If you do it during the enrollment season, and this is a big questionable, you know, gray area on how the fine-tuning of it, but if you do it when you're switching plans, if it's suggested that you might be a good fit for that payment system, you can apply for it within the changing of your plan. An agent doesn't do it for you, but your carrier can do it for you once you enroll in that new plan and it's approved. And then it should be ready to set for you in January. That is the design of that system.
Mm. Yep. So, hey, can I offer a thing from Verus Health Partners?
Sure.
All right. So we all have this thing where it's, buy one, get one free, BOGOs. Well, actually, we're going to do something better. We're going to buy one, get two on top of that. Me, you, and our daughter, Sarah, is on the team. So you get three chances. Or if you don't hear from me, you call Pam or you could call Sarah. So you get a 3-for-1. You know?
So the whole team's there to help.
That's right.
We sure are. So there's a
lot
there.
We're all local, so.
Yeah. Feel free to reach out and we will answer as many questions for people as we can.
All right, we have about 30 seconds left. How do people get a hold of you?
Pam.
What is our number? 850?
Yeah. We're at 850 South Palafax Street.
Yes. Suite 103.
Yeah.
That's and our location.
You can go on verushp.com and you can reach us there.
850-710-1796.
There you go.